Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you do for us. And I pray, dear Lord, now that you would bless your word. Help us to lift up the name of Jesus Christ in this hour and in the next hour as well, Lord. And every hour that we are here, help us to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. For it's all about Him. We are nothing. Thank you for using us, though, Lord. I pray that you would honor your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll begin in Luke chapter 9. I know many of you are probably expecting Exodus, so was I. But I don't go by a curriculum. I don't go by a set book. I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, what do you want to have treat? What do you want me to preach? What do you want me to have to teach? For me to teach is very hard, so usually I'm preaching here. I apologize for that, but that's just me. And so I go to the Lord and say, what do you want me to teach? And I was expecting the Passover, Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord said, no, not now. I said, yes, sir. I'm obedient to the Lord in those matters. Maybe not all matters, but in those matters, I'm obedient. So He said, I want you to teach about Jesus. I said, all right, that's a great subject. I love to talk about Jesus. Let's make much about Jesus. Amen. So in Luke chapter 9, we're coming to the third transition of Jesus Christ's life on earth, His ministry on earth. And this is the third transition. It is the transition where He's leaving Galilee and He's going to enter into the last period of His ministry, the last 6 months of His ministry here on earth. And so what this ministry is and what this time is are appointments, divine appointments along this last 6 months of His earthly ministry. So the title of this series is Behold, We Go Up to Jerusalem. For He set His face to go to Jerusalem. That's in our text verse in Luke 9 and verse 51 where it says, And it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. If you'll hold your place there and go over to Luke 13, we'll see the transition here. He set His face steadfastly. He set His face to go to Jerusalem. Then you look in Luke 13 and verse 22, the Word of God says, And He went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then you go back to Luke 17 and see in verse 11, the Word of God says, And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He went to Jerusalem. He had a set destination. And one last place where we get our verse for the our title for the series is in Luke 18 and verse 31. Luke 18, 31. Then He took unto Him the 12, and He said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And so we're going to go to Jerusalem with Christ. And these last 6 months of His ministry here on earth, He has a set destination. So we're going to spend all of today in Luke 9, and verse 51, and just that verse, we'll have some other verses we'll look at, but that's where we'll begin today. So when we're on a road toward an unknown destination, many of us have taken road trips, and in years gone by before the gas prices went up and then down and back up again, and now who knows what they're going to do. Back when it was about $1 a gallon, anybody remember that? I can remember 75 cents, that's about as low as I can remember. But I can remember about $1 a gallon, we get in the car and we say, where are we going? We don't know. We're just going to drive down a road we've never been to before. And we go down that road and we just go until we found a little hotel on the side of the road. We'd stop, we'd get up in the morning, we'd piddle around a little area and come back home. That's what we did. We'd select an unknown destination. Well, those were fun trips. Can't do those now, but those were fun trips back then. So when we're on a road toward an unknown destination, we're looking for and relying on those highway markers, are we not? We're looking for those road signs. We're looking for the road atlas. Anybody ever read a road map nowadays? I think it's almost a lost art. Children today, you give them a road atlas or a map today and say, find where we are, they wouldn't know how to read it, most of them. How about the unsolicited advice from the side seat or the back seat? And the exasperated voice of the GPS saying, recalculating, recalculating. Common things that we think about on the trip and along the way, and things that we hear as we're going towards this unknown destination is, are you going the right way? How much further? What are we going to do when we get there? And what are we going to do on the way? Where are we going to stay? And what are we going to eat? All things that I'm sure all of us have heard on these destinations as we go down the road, on these road trips. But when we're on a road trip toward a destination that we know and it's set, we still look for landmarks. We still watch for the appropriate turnoffs, but we maintain a focus of arriving at our destination safely and on time. And Jesus Christ had a destination that was set. He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to die. So in this study, we'll be focusing on these last 6 months of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. You know, the Bible states here in Luke 9:51 that He steadfastly set His face to go up to Jerusalem. So through this study, we'll be on this road trip with our Lord. What a great road trip that would be. But He's journeying to a place that does not like Him. He's journeying to a city that is very hostile toward Him and His ministry. He's journeying towards the city of Jerusalem, but He's journeying towards suffering. He's journeying toward rejection. He's journeying towards that day when all of those around Him that were chosen forsake Him. He is journeying towards the cross of Calvary. He is journeying towards the redemption of man. He is journeying towards fulfilling the law. He is journeying towards fulfilling the will of God, His Father. So just as when we make a road trip, there is a specific destination in mind before us, but we have to make some necessary stops. And so same with our Lord when He's making this destination to Jerusalem, this journey to Jerusalem. Yes, it was a specific destination. Yes, it was a set time. Yes, He knew when He needed to be there to fulfill all aspects of the law. But there were necessary stops along the way. Divine appointments that He must take time for. And those are the things we're going to look at through this journey. Those divine appointments. So let's journey together to Jerusalem with our Lord. You know, the time had come for Jerusalem, or for Jesus to wrap up His ministry in Galilee. He's wrapping it up here. He's in Caesarea Philippi when He makes this statement in Luke 9:51. And he's beginning that last stage. He says, it's time to go to Jerusalem. So let's look again at Luke 9:51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go up to Jerusalem. Let's just break this verse down a little bit. There's so much here. And it came to pass when the time was come. There was a set time. There was an appointed time for Jesus Christ to go to Jerusalem. It had been set down by God the Father from all of eternity. Here is a set time that Jesus Christ was going to come to be born. There was a set time for Jesus Christ to be baptized by John. There was a set time for Jesus Christ to begin His earthly ministry. There was a set time for Him to be arrested in the garden. There was a set time for Him to be crucified. There was a set time for Him to be buried in a borrowed tomb. There was a set time for Him to be resurrected from the dead. There was a set time for Him to return to heaven. There's a set time for Him to return in the clouds for His bride. And there is a set time for Him to come back and set up His kingdom. All laid out from all of eternity. God has set time schedules for the ministry of Christ. And here we are looking at that last earthly ministry time where it says He set His face to go to Jerusalem. But it says when the time was come. When the time was come. Let's look at just a few verses here together. Look at Galatians 4:4. Most of us know this by heart or know it pretty well. In Galatians 4:4, there was a set time for Jesus Christ to come to this earth and to be born of a virgin. For it says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The fullness of the time was come. A set time for Christ to come to this earth, to be born of a virgin. Now, that wasn't the beginning of Jesus Christ, for He is eternal. He is God. But it is the beginning of His time of being robed in flesh, being tabernacled here with us, indwelling the form of man. So there was a time when He was to be born. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 29. In John 1, 29, this is something I had never noticed as many times as I've read this passage of Scripture until this study. In John 1 and verse 29, it says, "The next day, John seeing Jesus coming unto him." What was John doing? He was baptizing. And John had a time where he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And he had been there for at least a day baptizing and preaching. And he delayed, he stayed another day because it was God's divine will. And the next day, Jesus came. It was a set time for Jesus to be baptized of John the next day. Then a couple more, John 2 and verse 4, we're at the marriage feast of Cana, and it says, "Jesus said unto her," he's talking to his mother, Mary, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." It is not time yet for me to begin the miracles. It is not yet time for me to draw men unto myself. It is not yet time to show a man that I am God. Let's just look at one more. John 17 and verse 1. We could look at many here, but John 17 and verse 1. We're at the prayer of intercession. Jesus is praying to His Father. And it says in John 17, 1, "These words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee, also may glorify Thee. The hour is come." There are set times throughout the Bible that Jesus Christ was set to. These are the time schedules that God had set and said, these are the appointed times when these things are going to happen. Now, we don't know when those things were going to happen. We can't look at the Bible or the stars or any kind of oracles or anything and say, okay, this is when Jesus Christ is going to come back. Men try to pinpoint His day, and throughout history, men have tried to pinpoint the exact day of His return, and each time it passes without Jesus Christ coming. And so they have to change. They say, well, I had it mistaken. Here's the new day. And they mistake it again. Because no man knows the time nor the day when Jesus Christ shall come but the Father. And the Father shall turn to His Son and say, go get your bride. So those are set times. And there is a set time here in Luke 9 when it's time for Jesus to set His face to go to the suffering that's before Him. You know, there's a set time when He's going to come back, and I pray it's today. I don't know if it is or not, but I pray it's today. Are you looking for His return? Or are you hanging on to this world? I know I've probably said this before in this class, but there are times in my early Christian life where I was like, okay, Jesus, I'm not ready for You to come back. I want to get married. I want to have children. I want to see my children grow up. I want to see my children get married. Those days, I've matured in the Lord and said, that's earthly. I'm ready to go home. Are you ready to go home? Every day this world gets more wicked every day. The hatred towards Christians is growing rapidly, not in the world, but in our own country, in our own state. It is growing quickly. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Is that your prayer today? In Luke 9:51, we see, and it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up. Now, we're not going to spend any time on that phrase except for this. When He's been received up, there's many thoughts into what that means. Many think that it means when He was to be received back up into glory. But others believe that it's been when He was to be received up to be arrested, to be received up to go before Pilate, to be received up to go before Caiaphas and Annas, and to be received up into the cross. There's all types of theories and thoughts about what that phrase means. And we're not going to touch that in this study. That's a whole nother lesson. Let's move on to the next phrase, though, where he steadfastly set his face to go up to Jerusalem. Steadfastly. It was on purpose. He's setting his face to go to Jerusalem. You know, let's break this down in our human minds and think about this for just a moment. Jesus Christ is 100% God, and he's 100% man. And here he is, the God-man here on earth. And he has set his mind to go towards pain and suffering and mockery. And we know what, we've read our Bibles, we know what Jesus Christ went through in that last week. He set his face to go there. He said, it's time to go and suffer. It is time to go and to bleed and to die for man. He did that willingly. But he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. What does this mean? He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. It's talking about his countenance. It's talking about not only his facial expressions and his feelings, but his expressions as well. Where he set his face, Jesus knew full well what was before him. It had not been hidden from him. You think of Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying and said, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. He knew what he was getting ready to face. Jesus knew full well what was before him. He knew what was coming, the betrayal, the unjust trials, the mockery, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the spitting, the nails, the spear, the agony of the cross, the sin of all mankind placed upon him, his Father forsaking him. Yet he never turned back, but set his face to go to Jerusalem, to do that for you and for me. But he also steadfastly set his mind to go to Jerusalem. It was also a mental thing. He was 100% man. He's thinking on these things, so he set his mind, not only his countenance and his face, but he set his mind to go to Jerusalem. His thoughts went before him. He's God. His mind goes before him to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place of danger for him. Look at Luke 13 and verse 34. This is what Jesus said about Jerusalem. Luke 13 and verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. It was a place of danger. It was a place of hostility toward Jesus Christ and his ministry and all the elements of its authority. And every aspect of authority in Jerusalem, they were against Jesus Christ. And its hostility toward Jesus and the elements of its policies and politics, they were against the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, he had already told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders. That's the civil rulers, the civil authorities. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the priests. That's the religious rulers. And he must go and suffer many things of the scribes. That was the moral rulers, the rulers of mortality. Look at morality. Look at Luke 9 again and verse 22. Luke 9:22, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ speaking, says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, the chief priests, and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. He was prophesying of his own treatment and his own death, and yet he set his face to go toward that. The whole city, under the authority of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, the whole city was hostile towards Jesus Christ and those that followed him. Yet he set his face to go there. He set his mind to go there. But it was also a place that Jesus Christ could see in his mind and know with his omniscience that that Jerusalem was a place that was doomed. It was already doomed. Look at Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 20. These are just the words of Christ. Luke 21, 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. He foresaw this. He saw what was going to happen to Jerusalem. In Luke 13, he goes on to say in verse 34 about Jerusalem and its doom. In verse 34, we've already read, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered the children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. But look at verse 35. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That is yet to happen. The future doom of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ saw the destruction of Jerusalem happening within a generation of his going to Jerusalem. He saw the city encompassed about with armies. He saw the city occupied by the Romans. He saw the city and the temple and its destruction. He saw the loss of life, young and old, at the exploits of the Romans and Titus. He saw it all as he set his face to go to Jerusalem, a place that was danger to him, a place that was doomed, but it was also a place that would be rebuilt, and he could foresee that as well. Hold your place in Luke and go to Revelation with me. In Revelation, he has set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he's seeing it's a place that's in danger, danger of him, but he's seeing it's a place of being doomed already by God, but he's also seeing it's a place that's going to be rebuilt in Revelation 21 and verse 2. The Word of God says, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Look at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Jesus Christ set his face to go to Jerusalem for you and for me, and he saw that it was a place of danger for him. He saw that it was a place that was going to be doomed and is doomed and was doomed in his day. And he saw that it was a place, though, that would be rebuilt, where he would come and rule and reign on earth. Through the views that Jesus had of the danger and the hostility of Jerusalem and the destruction and ruin of Jerusalem, he saw also into the future the glory of Jerusalem. G. Campbell Morgan, a great preacher of years gone by, said this quote, and I quote, he said, He saw the triumph beyond the travail, and the victory beyond the apparent defeat. He even saw, as he went to the cross in his mind's eye, he knew what he was going to endure. He knew that he was going to be buried. He knew he would be back with his Father. He already knew that. So he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his mind to go to Jerusalem. But he also steadfastly set his heart to go to Jerusalem. Jesus' heart at this time was full of the desire to complete the work of the Father. His heart was full for which to complete and to fulfill why He came into the world, and that was to seek and to save sinners, to make a way for sinners to come to God. Jesus was set on obeying and fulfilling the will of the Father. Look at Galatians 1. In Galatians 1 and verse 4, the Word of God says, Who gave Himself for our sins. That's talking about Jesus. Nobody else has given themselves for our sins. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He set His heart to go to Jerusalem to fulfill the will of the Father. One last verse here in Revelation 3. In Revelation chapter 3, as Jesus Christ has set His heart to go to Jerusalem to be the sacrifice for all of mankind. In Revelation 3, in verse number 5, the Word of God says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." I can see you standing before the Father, is what Jesus is saying. Those that have overcome, those that have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, those that have trusted in the work that I'm going to Jerusalem to do, I can see you in front of the Father as I present you to Him. Jesus was setting, His heart was set on paying the price for our redemption. His heart was full of love towards the sinner. And we're going to see that in this study. His heart is full of the love for the sinner. It was His desire to purchase salvation for sinners by His own sacrifice. Notice Hebrews, last verse, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. The joy, His heart was full to obey the Father. The joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. His heart was set to go to Jerusalem to be the sacrifice for you and for me. So with these thoughts in mind, we will begin this journey with our Lord, a journey which includes the last 6 months of His earthly ministry, a journey with some necessary stops and definitely some divine appointments along the way. For behold, we go up to Jerusalem. Come journey with us. Heavenly Father, I pray that You bless this study. Help us to draw closer to You through this study to see what You endured for us. Help us to see Your love for sinners along the way and Your love for sinners that continues even today, as You're still drawing man to You and to Yourself. Thank You for not leaving us without the Holy Spirit, dear Lord. Thank You for the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would see how You have left us that Comforter, how that One that You have drawn us alongside. Bless this study. Bless our pastor in the next hour. Fill him with Your power. Give him the strength he needs to preach and proclaim the Word of God. Thank You for all that You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.